When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up on today's episode, with the Jets out of action, we take a look at the deadline, including some unmentioned names that Winnipeg could be targeting.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. All right, time to get into a first, I think, here on Skates and Plates. The new and improved Skates and Plates studio. This is a live recording. Or an in-person, I guess it's always live. This is an in-person recording.
We are in the same building.
Yeah, we are. It's literally side by side right now. Normally we do this, I'm at my place, Tyson's at his place, but, you know, circumstances, sometimes life throws you a curveball, so you gotta just hit that hanger right over the middle of the plate into the double deck, and yeah, we're face to face right now.
A spicy meatball sent into left center.
Ooh. Like, yeah, Bryce Harper. Oh, yeah. It's about the only... Actually, I was going to say that the Phillies aren't even the only good thing in Philly right now. It's the Flyers. Oh, it's all of them. Did you see the... By the way, I should say CJOB's Tyson Rewicki joining us here on Skates and Plates once again. Did you see the meme, the Thanos meme about the Flyers?
No.
It was like, you know, if anyone's seen Infinity War, I think it was... Where Thanos gets the Soul Stone, and it's like mini Gamora, and she's like, "What did you get?
Oh yeah,
what did you get?" And he's like, "The Flyers. What did it cost you? The Eagles."
Oh, honestly, that's the price to pay. The Eagles are just so done.
And we got our Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, let's
and now you can, now it's like maybe hey, whatever's gonna happen next year, they're gonna bring in a new staff. They're gonna bring in maybe a whole new coach, like a new head coach, not just new coordinators. But we could go on and on.
Yeah,
we can just devolve this into an Eagles podcast.
Yeah, this is the first and last in person recording of this podcast. This is terrible. People are not intrigued right now whatsoever. But we'll move on from that. I mean, it's a different kind of episode because, I mean, the Jets last played on Tuesday night, taking down the Islanders. It's been a while with this coming out Friday morning. So, I mean, I feel weird breaking down a game that happened that long ago.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people don't really care all that much about it. But, I mean, what else is there to say? The Jets do what they normally do. Give up less than 3 goals and find a way to win. And that's exactly what they did against the New York Islanders. I guess before we talk about the deadline, and I've come up with a few names that, you know, everybody knows the people that are out there. So I wanted to come up with some names that people hadn't heard before, almost like the Chevy files, because nobody else predicts who Chevy trades for. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. But I feel like, one, the Jets are playing so good, there's very little drama to be had. But I feel like the one thing people are talking about is like the age-old Winnipeg Jets conundrum right now, and it reared its head in that Islanders game, even though the Jets picked up the win. But we're doing the Nikolaj Ehlers ice time thing again.
Yes.
I guess demoted. I mean, technically he was demoted. I don't think it's, you know what I mean? It's not like it was done for poor play, but like moved from line one to line two or three. Really line three, which we'll get to right now. And I mean, Ehlers up on the top line, the Jets were killing the opposition. Kyle Connor comes back in. Of course, Kyle Connor is scoring the second he comes back in. But we see Ehlers, what was he, 8th or 9th in ice time among forwards, even strength of the game. Cole Perfetti, 10th, I believe, in even strength ice time among forwards in that game. But everybody, in terms of complaints, which, you know, sports fans love to do, this is kind of the only one in Winnipeg right now. But we should probably touch on the fact that specifically Mason Appleton is playing a lot more than specifically Nikolai Ehlers and Cole Perfetti, despite the production being continents apart so far this season. Should Jets fans rightfully be ticked off about this? Or is this much ado about nothing?
Well, this is a little bit tough with a team like the Islanders, especially after that game against the Flyers where they kind of sort of grinded them into the dirt. Like, they kind of pulled the Jets on the Jets. And the Islanders kind of have that ability, I think. So maybe that's bonus kind of seeing how the game's going and being like, let's not have this game kind of go in the way that it was against Philly. But for the most part, there is no chance that Mason Appleton should be getting more ice time than Nick Ehlers. And even like over the past couple weeks, Appleton's play hasn't really stood out.
I feel like he's the most criticized Jet right now.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. Yeah. It's just like, I feel like when people are harping on somebody, it's Appleton. So that's why it was like just as jarring to see, oh, he's playing more than quite possibly the Jets' most talented forward, like, or their most productive forward. That's what Ehlers has been for, I mean, really, yeah, since he got moved up to the top line for that string of games there. I mean, look, Bones has done a lot of great things. The coaching staff's done a lot of great things. To me, I like to keep things simple and just make it, how do I get my best players the most ice time? And whether it's online one or online two, like, find a way to make it happen. You don't need to match up Chase against the Islanders, even, right? Maybe it's one thing if it's, I guess, like a Colorado or maybe even a Dallas, right? Where you're a little more scared of a specific line. I mean, Horvat and Barzell have been great for the Islanders, but I mean, you're not necessarily hiding from somebody.
That, it's pretty bare, right?
Islanders
aren't scaring many people offensively.
Yeah, and I mean, you play the first line enough that, you know, they're pretty much going power against power most nights anyways. So, I feel like sometimes the coaching staff overthinks itself with their ice time, and it's just like, look, is he one of your best players? Yes. Play him more. Probably be surprised to find out that you... Yeah, I can't even say win more hockey games because they're winning damn near every game they play. But, you know, you do wonder a little bit with how, yes, the defensive numbers are great, but offensively, they've kind of faded a little bit in terms of what they're able to generate out there. Probably because Mason Appleton is playing, you know, a couple minutes more than Ehlers and Perfetti. In games, but I don't know. Maybe it's not a problem now. I think it's more so, you know, game one of the playoffs. If you see something like that, then it's, what are we doing here, right? Like, it's go time. We need our best players to play. But I will say this. It is interesting now. Not that I agree with it, but it's interesting that this is, what, the third coaching staff that has done this with Ehlers.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, infamously, Paul Maurice did this for a long time. I mean, Dave Lowry for a little bit, as far as from what I can remember. And then now, for 2 years running, Rick Bowness. So, I don't know. Is there, like, are we missing something? Like, I just wonder, like, right? Like, it's one thing when one coach does it. That's a long period of time that for whatever reason or various reasons that coaching staffs have made the decision to minimize Ehlers' time on ice to somewhere under 20 minutes a game.
Well, and I wonder too, if, because like when Ehlers is on his game, he's so explosive and you see the skill just oozing out of him, where when he has a bad game, those bad games are just that much more noticeable. And maybe that just sticks in a coach's mind more than Mason Appleton, who, if he has a bad game, it's more so maybe him not getting in on the forecheck quick enough or not closing out on the point quick enough. Like, it's those little things that are more correctable, whereas Ehlers, the poor play, and most of the time his play is not poor, but that game against the Flyers, I didn't think he had a great game.
Yeah, there was a couple earlier on in the year where it was like,
And then, so I feel like maybe that's part of the reason, and it sticks in Bones' mind. And that's part of the reason why I also think that getting the second line center is such a big part for this team, because that kind of forces you. You really don't have a choice if you have a solid number two center to not play that line with Nikolaj Ehlers' legitimate second line minutes. So I think it's key getting a center, and I think we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a minute, but it's weird. Like, and even we saw a little bit of with Cole Perfetti earlier in the season and now too, where it's like these guys are playing solid hockey, and it's not like in Perfetti's case, it's not like he's playing bad defensively. He's out on the wing.
He's one of their better defensive forwards.
Yeah, exactly.
By the numbers, so.
And so it's just, it's kind of, it's head-scratching. It's very head-scratching, and I don't know the exact reason. I mean, we're not in the room. Maybe there's something that Bones is harping on Perfetti and Ehlers, and he's not seeing the right improvement there. But for the most part, I mean, you got to let those guys go. And they might not have needed it in the Islanders game because they do end up winning.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ehlers' ability, especially against a team like the Islanders, where when they're in the defensive zone, they're going to start collapsing. And Ehlers' play, when he's just ragging the puck around and he's able to kind of get the defense scrambling, against a team like the Islanders, that's exactly what you want. You need like a zone breaker and a game breaker and a guy who can do that. And if you're not having trouble scoring a goal, Nick Ehlers is a guy who can do that.
Well, and it's funny too because, you know, I think coaches will generally say it's the third period, right? And it's a one-goal Jets lead. And I would say the Jets coach, historically, any coach is going to lean on his quote-unquote defensive guys. And it's always, let's protect the lead, not let's kill the game with another goal. I'm not saying, you know, that like, hey, like, let's shoot the zone, this and this, everything. But, you know, just by having Ehlers out there on the ice, making it a 4-2 hockey game is a hell of a lot easier to defend than in your own zone playing great defense in a 3-2 hockey game. So there is that aspect of it that I like too. And like, you know, you want to try to minimize how much time you're defending a one goal lead. So if you can make it a 2-goal lead, then let's get that guy out there and, you know, things are going to be just fine. I do feel like Perfetti's probably a bigger victim in all this than Ehlers is.
Agreed.
Because again, yeah, you know, his defensively, he's been great. And it seems like he just gets bench late in games because he's 21.
Yeah.
Like there's no, like, right? Like if just like, imagine he's like same player, same results, same everything, but it says 31 instead of 21 on his birth certificate. I don't think he plays the 10th most ice, right? You know what I mean?
And especially too, like, I love Kyle Connor, but all right, at this point in the season now, are we really going to make an argument that Kyle Connor should be out there late in the game over Cole Perfetti? No.
Yeah, defensively over anyone.
Yeah.
No. Which is, again, funny because they put Connor out there to what?
Yeah.
To end the game.
Yeah, exactly. So,
like, it does feel, I don't know. It would be, I don't think you'll ever get a straight public answer, but it would be interesting to, you know, throw a little truth serum in the coffee there and be like, Bones, what's the deal here? Like, there's...
Give us the goods.
Yeah, like, teams at first... Let the boys know, yeah. And he'd be like, what? Spill the tea? Like, dude, I'm 70. Like, I don't... But yeah, I mean, like, it's nice to complain and argue about these things in first place after a winning game, all that stuff. It could get magnified, though, later in the year, especially in the playoffs. Stakes are higher, things like that. You know, things that you can kind of debate about right now could become potential stumbling blocks for the team when the games matter big time in about 3 months or so. So we'll keep an eye on it. I wonder if at an upcoming presser, if anybody's going to kind of grill Bones a little bit to try to get an answer as to why, you know, Nicky did so good getting 20 minutes a night. And then now that Kyle Connor's back, it's back to where it's always been. So we'll see. But I do like your one point there, Tyson, that maybe it is a result of this team not having a high-end option on their second line down the middle. Which brings us to the main part of this podcast. Takes notes as well, Tyson. That's how you segue. Like if you're on CJOB with Jim Toth and you're trying to go from topic to topic, that's how you do a callback and then bring it forth to the rest of the segment upcoming there.
Segue like S-E-G-W-A-Y?
Yeah. That's exactly it. You Kevin, you Paul Blart it. But yeah, with you know, the Islanders game in the rear view, Ottawa Saturday afternoon, I believe. Maybe Ottawa's a part of this segment. Who knows? But I thought it'd be interesting to look ahead to the deadline.
and talk about some names. And I mean, obviously, the big one is and will be and has been Elias Lindholm. I mean, I don't even know if we necessarily need to talk all that much about it and about him because, I mean, everybody knows he's great. Like, it would be great for the Jets to get him. He's available. So that's, I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like that discussion is overdone at this point until somebody steps up, a trade's nearby, more concrete asking price, things like that.
Well, and it's probably just going to be whoever wins the bidding war, right? Like, it's not, like, we could put together trade packages, but it's just, at the end of the day, it's going to be who puts together the best one.
Yep, or, like, right off the bat right now is, like, first high prospect, something else, yeah, done.
Yeah.
Like, I'll do that right now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so, like, yeah, we'll see what happens there. And well, let me throw you my names out that I have. I don't know if you've come up with anything.
You have two.
You've got two. Okay, I've got two-ish. Like, two kind of four. It'll make sense. Don't worry, it'll make sense. So, but then we can kind of figure out, okay, like, what would be, like, what would be in preferred order, how things would play out. And I'm just going down the middle here. I mean, do you have defensemen?
I have one defenseman.
Okay. Well, let's do the defenseman first, then. Because mine are all centermen. So, we know Tanev, Hanifin are available from Calgary. Is it one of those two?
It is not.
Ottawa's coming to town Saturday. Is it one defenseman from there?
I wish it was, but it's okay. Not.
Because, I mean, Chychrun's name is starting to come out there more and more now. I'm kind of intrigued about that. I don't know who you're talking about then.
It's not going to be the most impactful defenseman right away.
Okay, well, let's skip then.
But I think that this is a guy who you can kind of, as we look forward to the roster and how we kind of see where the cap might be going over the next couple of years, this is a guy that you can bring in as a Neil Pionk replacement at a much reduced rate, at least for the near future.
Okay.
And I like the idea of going to Columbus and seeing what that asking price is for a guy like Adam Boqvist.
Oh.
And see what they're asking for. He's a guy who's had troubles with the organization. I mean, who hasn't with Columbus, right? What a dumpster fire. But, like, just seeing, like, what they think of him. Is he a guy that, you know, it's kind of just, we just want to move on from him. We don't want to change his scenery for him. We both need to change his scenery. Maybe there's something there, and maybe the Jets can unlock that. Because his potential is through the roof. If he can stay healthy,
he is
a really talented defenseman. And I think that those are the sort of moves for the Jets where you're buying, but you're also still looking towards the future. And I think that it's a solid risk to take. To me, it's low risk, high reward. Yeah. If he doesn't turn out, he's only got another year left on his deal. Let him go overseas if he struggles really badly. But if he takes off, you got a legitimate top four right-handed defenseman right there.
Okay. I can buy what you're selling then. And, I mean, yeah, he hasn't played very well since coming over to Columbus, so, I mean, the cost wouldn't be...
Right.
I mean, like, could you do something like... it depends if they're interested, but, like, Logan Stanley in the third? I would be okay with that. I'd be intrigued to see how that could work. I mean, you'd still have the logjam with Heinola's status up in the air and all that, but okay, all right, not bad. I just wonder at this point if a defenseman makes sense for the Jets.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to do just with, like, all the guys.
I think off season maybe, where you can move Schmidt, and I mean, you got to make decisions about DeMello and then Dylan as well. So I think the off season to me makes a little more sense, and they've all played well at all three pairings so far. So, like, let's just roll with it. To me, the intrigue, of course, lies down the middle, and I still think that's where the biggest need is with this team. Unfortunately, Elliot Friedman on 32 Thoughts pretty viciously doused my fever dream of Joel Eriksson-Ek coming to Winnipeg. I'm paraphrasing, but it was something along the lines of, that's ridiculous, I don't see it happening. Eriksson-Ek being on the trade block.
What does Friedman know?
That is a fair point. What does he know? Unfortunately, I'm going to lean to his expertise on this one. I just because it's Minnesota and he's a centerman, he's not on my list. What if you could get Ryan Hartman? I'm just saying. I don't know. God. I'm just saying. I just wanted to throw that out there. It's got more points this year than Vladdy Domestika. I'm just throwing something out there.
We find the room finally gets yeah. tight, and they bring
just
in
a bomb,
just a sleeper agent. Yeah.
Hey guys, vibes are great this year. Well, here's the biggest dick in the league.
We brought in the guy that you earmuffs. All hate.
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes you just.
I mean, like, if there was a player that played exactly like Hartman that didn't have the history with the Jets like Hartman does, I'd be all over it. I mean, maybe that's a guy like Scott Laughton. Like, that, a pretty similar play style, just without the history.
Yeah, I thought about... Yeah, he's just... Yeah, I mean, Hartman's something else.
He is.
But...
It's another level.
I did wonder about throwing Scott Laughton in there. To me, that's kind of like a... Oh boy, we missed out on literally everybody. Let's yeah. bring somebody in guy. That I think would still help the Jets. I wonder what the Flyers are going to do with him. It feels like they missed the boat on selling high on him at the draft. I don't want Ryan Hartman in Winnipeg. But if it's not Erickson Ek and he's not available, I have a new number one target. The problem is with this team and the other team I'm going to talk about, are they going to be sellers? But if you're looking at, what are we looking at in a second line centerman?
Guy who can win draws, solid defensively, could be a play driver.
Produce offensively, maybe has term as well.
Ideally.
In this case, he does. I don't know if he's good at, I haven't checked faceoffs. I, to be honest, I don't care a ton. It's like if you're above 50%, great, that's awesome. Brock Nelson fits a lot of those check boxes. A lot of them, right?
Interesting.
The only caveat is, will Lou throw in the towel?
Yeah, that's going to be tough because Lou seems like a guy who's kind of like...
Well, I'll say this. Let me say this about Lou. I don't think he's playing for the future.
Oh, really?
I don't know. That's just me. I might be wrong on this.
Lou's not looking 10 years down
the road. I'm reading the tea leaves on this, and I'm thinking to myself, I just don't think he's thinking 5 years down the road. But we could be wrong. To me, the only way this happens is if the Islanders... Sorry that I'm boring you with my list here. But,
and I woke up at 4 in the morning.
I don't care. But... The only way I think this happens is if the Islanders, like, tank out of the race. But it does kind of fit the mold of the Paul Stastny trade a few years back, where not a guy with term, but, like, the Blues were in it in the wild card race, and they just kind of, like, stealth tanked. Maybe the Islanders decide it's just not our year. Let's sell high on a guy at this point. And, I mean, that would be some tasty center depth. To go Shifley, Nelson, Lowry, I guess Kupari at this, whoever it is down the middle of the fourth line. And I mean, a second line of whoever, but like just imagine Shifley, Connor Vilardi, Brock Nelson, Nick Ehlers, Cole Perfetti.
Jeez. That is crazy. And even too, like, just imagine if the Jets are really hell bent on keeping that top power play unit together. Adding Brock Nelson, though, makes it a lot easier to kind of swap out either, like, the Iafallo or Perfetti down low and have Brock Nelson slide into that net front where he is just dynamite. And it just adds a whole different dynamic to your power play. So I think, I mean, Brock Nelson would be awesome. I totally agree with you. I just, Lou, I think Lou is just, I could, maybe if he thinks that, hey, if we move out, I don't think we're going to re-sign Brock Nelson. If we can move out his contract now, get some more assets, and then potentially go after a bigger name, like, potentially I could see something like that. Maybe he brings home John Tavares.
Oh, yeah. That's, Hartman to Winnipeg, Tavares to the Islanders.
But it's, Lou's, I feel like Lou's going to be, going to do something stupid at the deadline. Kind of like he does
most of the time. Yeah, I mean, that's the most likely scenario. But that's my number one, I think. Like, and that's somebody that where, like, first-round pick, it probably costs you a high-end prospect. But, like, if you're going to go big, you get two runs out of it, and that, I don't know, that, like, would that make the Jets, like, the number one contender?
I think so.
Make it happen. So that's the guy that I'm looking at there.
Who's your number two?
Well, before I get to number two, to a lesser extent, what would you, just because I said I have four, but, like, what if, it's okay, Brock Nelson is off the table, but Lou's like, can I interest you in a slightly used J.G. Pageot?
Oh.
$5 million is the cap hit. He might have a couple years left. I can't totally remember his contract, but I know the cap hit's $5 million. What do you think about that?
I don't mind it, depending on the asking price. I feel like the Islanders, I feel like he's more valuable to the Islanders than he is to some other teams across the league.
He's a playoff stud, though.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that's the part that I kind of like. Like, he elevates big time. And that's where you're kind of like, do we want to give up kind of the farm for Lindholm or maybe bargain shop for a Pageau? And, like, are we, how much worse, better off? Like, I don't know. That's where things get kind of interesting, where you can, like, we can get aggressive and go after somebody. But if we can keep our firsts and our prospects, like, that's kind of the dream scenario there. So I wonder, there's another guy that I have in mind, too, to a lesser extent. But Pageau kind of, I'm kind of, like, talking myself into Pageau as a good fallback option.
If we're getting crazy, like, let's get crazy.
Let's do it.
If you're willing to give up the farm for Elias Lindholm, would you be willing to give up that same package, attach Nate Schmidt to it, and maybe an extra pick to get both Brock Nelson and J.G. Pageau? If the Islanders are completely out of it and they already put the axe on Lou and they have someone come in and kind of like, you're going to take care of this deadline and we're pushing towards the future, would you give up a Brad Lambert and a first-round pick for J.G. Pageau and Brock Nelson?
I think just from the insanity point of view, yeah. Like, it's just so crazy. Let's just do it.
I would just love a third line of Nino, Adam Lowry, and J.G. Pageau.
Oh, that would be good. That would be scary. And then
Brock Nelson for Benny Ehlers, Velarde, Scheifele, Connor.
Yeah. Okay, I'm in. I love it.
That is just a playoff roster if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, I think we got to cheer for like a 6-game losing streak, and then this makes it on the table for the Isles. Probably just for one of them, but like I'm keeping my eye on them. So we need the Islanders to suck, and then if New Jersey wins their next game, the Isles are in second last in the Metro, only ahead of awful Columbus. So it's, I mean, like, realistically, yeah, they might be close, but it's like you got to leapfrog six teams in the East for a wild card spot. So we'll see. But, like, a couple more losses, and I think this might become an interesting discussion heading into the deadline there. So those are my first two from one team. Another team. Maybe not as enticing as Brock Nelson, but I think I love his game. I think there's a lot more production out of him than what he's shown right now and kind of has shown in his career. And it's a team in a similar spot too, so we also need a little bit of losses to pile up, but it's trending in the right direction right now. Also, like Brock Nelson, a year left on his contract after this year. The main difference is this cat has a couple of cup rings to his name. Do you want to take a guess? It's a Western Conference team.
Cat?
Not a cat. He doesn't have a cat name. He's just like a dude. A bro. Like.
I'm not sure.
Why don't we give Ronnie Francis in Seattle a dial? See what it would cost for Yanni Gourde.
Oh, that's a guy too. That's like J.G. Pageau.
Like turbo.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, that would be... And he just adds... He would add so much to this team. The one... Like, when I look at the Jets team, there's not a lot of guys that I think... There's not a lot of things that I think they're missing, but if they could really grab a guy for the playoff run who really has that sandpaper, Like, out of not questioning Adam Lowry at all, he is one of the toughest SOBs in the league. But he's not. He's that intimidating force. You kind of need a guy. You almost, it's a weasel. You need
like a pesty, yeah, gritty. Like
every single Cup team has that guy where he's just kind of a rat.
And yeah, you're talking about like a 6 foot, like 6 feet and under, like 180, but yeah, like is just a ball of hate.
Exactly.
Yeah, Lowry's too big. He's just too big. He plays it perfectly, but like you also need a smaller guy. I think Yanni Gord would be a great fit beside Nicky, and then whoever else you want to put beside him on that line. I mean, I don't know. I feel like a first round pick is, that might be enough to do it. Plays third line on Seattle, but I mean, it's Seattle's fault they're misusing him.
Yeah,
I think he's shown it. Obviously, third line in Tampa, but that third line was better than half the playoff team's first lines a lot of nights. I could see Yanni Gord having some fun here in Winnipeg.
Yeah, Yanni Gord would be a really nice ad. He really would be.
The other one, less fun, but also a center and producing pretty well, and on the same team. Maybe Alex Wennberg.
It would be a totally different play style. You'd be getting like the playmaking ability, and he could kind of add another element to the power play.
Yeah, that sounds like no. That sounds like no.
It's, well, to be like, if you're going to do that, you might as well just put Perfetti at center.
Yeah, I kind of get what you're saying. I just thought I'd throw him in there. I'm just kind of whatever on him.
We're spitballing.
The last name, I'll just because I actually forgot about him. So I actually got five names. Although I really want him to go to a different team because it was part of my bold predictions. But Adam Henrique wouldn't be that bad. Like, it wouldn't be that to me is like a plan C. But you could do a lot worse than Adam Henrique. I don't think the cost would be all that much either. He's got I think he is a pending UFA. Got a decent cap hit, but the Jets don't really need Anaheim to retain anything on it. And so they could probably, like, yay, a second or a third round pick and don't worry about the salary.
Yeah.
That might be enough to get it done.
Yeah.
And there's a guy, clearly, with cup run with New Jersey, played a bunch of playoff games. He's still got a little bit of juice left. I wouldn't, you know, if Lindholm went for a crazy price and nobody else was available, Henrique wouldn't be a bad fallback option, at least.
Well, and there's also the Anaheim factor, too, where it's just like he's been playing for Anaheim for the past couple of years, and he just might not be giving 100%.
The old Hampus Lindholm effect.
Exactly. So maybe he's got a little extra juice than he had, let's say, 2 years ago. Like he might have been preserving himself a little bit while he's in Anaheim.
Just saving himself for the Jets to come in and swoop in and rescue him like a damsel in distress.
And Marat did have him listed as one of the five players that he's interested in the Jets taking.
So that means it's actually smart then.
Yeah. So there's some.
I noticed the other ones I brought up were not on that list, but that's good. That's good.
The only one was Wennberg. That's one I'm like.
Yeah, I'd be pretty rattled. But that would suck.
And it's kind of funny because I'm going to mention one of the players I was thinking of, and he's kind of similar to Wennberg in a sense. But he's a guy who had a really good season last year. And I think just with how awful his team has been this year, I think you could really get him for a pretty cheap price for how quality of a player he is. And I wouldn't mind testing the waters on Alex Barabanov in San Jose.
Oh. Well, I did not expect that name.
Yeah, like, he's struggled this year, but it's San Jose. Like, who hasn't struggled on that team? And maybe, in my mind, I was kind of thinking, I mean, if he was a center, it would be a perfect fit. But with him being a winger, it makes things a little bit more complicated. But if you were really trying to go all in and you made a move for a center, Alex Barabanov is pretty much Vlad Namestnikov.
I was just gonna say. I mean, didn't the Jets, was Namestnikov on San Jose when they, or was he back with Tampa?
He
was with San Jose that year, but I think San Jose might have traded him to Tampa, and then the Jets traded. You know what I mean?
Yes, I believe you're right.
Either way, because
there was that whole cycle with Mikey Asamoah too involved, and
Mikey.
I know, he's
my boy. What could have been here in Winnipeg, but Depp's doing pretty good here. Barabanov, I did not expect to hear his name tonight. I love it. So now that you know the options, let's say cost isn't an issue and the Jets could grab like anybody, what would your pecking order be for centerman?
Are we taking out other factors as well?
Let's just
let's just talk about price. Like,
well, I mean price to a degree, but it's more so like, you let's say they all relatively cost somewhat the same, and it's more about, you know, fit and what could help the Jets for this cup run, right?
Well, to me, the perfect fit is Claude Giroux, but he's not getting moved out of Ottawa.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Yeah. Like, if they're in a perfect world, if he was willing to come to Winnipeg, I would give him a top-notch prospect to make sure that he's on the Jets for the next 2 years. Not happening.
Yeah.
After that, I'd probably have to go Lindholm, just because.
So you would take Lind, you would, like, I know there's the extra year and things like that, but for just like one cup run, let's just say they're all, but like, you think Lindholm, number one choice?
Yes.
I think I'd go Brock Nelson, Yanni Gord, and Elias Lindholm.
Interesting. I wonder how much the Calgary.
No, I changed my mind. Brock Nelson, Elias Lindholm, Yanni Gord. I'll change my mind a little bit there.
I wonder.
But I think Lindholm and Gord would be like, either way, close. I'm like, that's pretty sweet. But then you take into account, you know, getting an extra year of Gord, and that's like, yeah, sign me up for that.
Yeah. I see the logic for sure. I just feel that if we can get Elias Lindholm into the Jets locker room away from whatever's going on in Calgary right now, maybe it's just a nice change of scenery. It's kind of crazy to think how, just looking back at a year from ago, that
you got
to
get into the Jets strong, cultured locker room.
Exactly. Like, it's weird to say it, but it's true. Like, maybe him coming in just kind of gives him a boost. It enjoys playing the game again instead of these last couple of years in Calgary. But Yanni Gord, I mean, you really can't go wrong with any of those top three guys.
The Jets would be in a great spot if they got any of those three. The problem is, there's a chance two of those three aren't available. That's going to be the big issue here is, you know, if it's not Lindholm, can they find somebody else? I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it plays out here. I wouldn't hate Lindholm. I do wonder if the price is going to exceed what the output on the ice is.
Yeah.
I would feel a lot better if it was Brock. Even if it was a big price to pay, I think Brock Nelson would be worth his weight in gold. And I think Yanni Gord would have I think he'd fit in real nice here in Winnipeg.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of people are kind of thinking of the player that Lindholm was and not the player that he is now.
Yeah. 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 He's not. There won't be. I mean, hey, Nicky's great, but there's no Tkachuk and Gaudreau joining his line here in Winnipeg. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm intrigued about this, especially because we know Boston, Colorado, they might be even more, you know, antsy to pull the trigger on that. They might need him more than the Jets do, which is wild because, like, they'd be perfect for the Jets. So it might end up being one of those under the radar options. And I wonder too, if Lindholm doesn't work out, like, do the Jets just sit it out? And, like, if we can't find a guy, like, what's the point of doing something if it's going to be a minimal?
I agree that you shouldn't just make a move just to make it. But I also think you should be doing your absolute darndest to add to this team, especially after you signed the extensions with Hellebuck and Scheifele.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of you guys did us a solid, you see the vision, let's reward you.
Let's reward you with a Brock Nelson.
One peak Brock Nelson coming right
up. Put it on the vision board. Lou with the phone, giving up on life. Brock Nelson, wearing the blue, red, and white. Let's make it happen, please.
You bring a platter of gabagoo for Lou, and he'll crumble in just a second. Yeah. Is that Genoa?
I do like your first round pick. I do like the charcuterie board. You got it, you Chevy. You did it again. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a fun couple of weeks. Up until the deadline. That would be one that wouldn't happen until deadline day,
yeah.
Which kind of makes it fun and terrifying at the same time. But there's going to be a bunch of twists and turns before then. And we'll make sure that we keep you guys afloat and abreast of the news until the big moves finally happen. But that's going to do it for the episode here. We'll wrap it up there, and we'll head into the weekend and get ready for the Jets game against Ottawa on Saturday before a trip out to good old T.O. and some of those other beautiful locations out east. Should be some interesting times. Maybe the who knows? Maybe the Leafs are selling Tavares. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe the Leafs could be the answer for the Jets' second line set.
Mitch Marner?
I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there. But we'll break down the Jets game against Ottawa, the Toronto matchup coming up, and then any other news that happen from now until when we return on Tuesday morning. Until then, though, thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki, CJOB's Tyson Rewicki with us once again. Like I said, we'll be back at it on Tuesday morning. Until then, though, stay safe, stay warm, and enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll talk to you Tuesday. Peace.